Thank you, Bobby. That's close enough. Can you hear me? All right, back there in the back. Okay. I want you to know this is a really good topic, and Balaji Ganesan is in India coming back on visiting his family, and I'm giving his presentation. Let's just go ahead and get started here. We did, this is a little bit of background, we did find a couple of years ago that we'd asked to look at gin dust and see if it was explosible, and we reported it wasn't, and then sent off some samples, which I paid for from share funds, to a commercial lab, and they said, oh, yeah, it's Class A explosible dust, not combustible, but explosible dust. Okay, let's come back and see what we're talking about here. This is typical Aggie method of testing dust. It's a cube. It's a plexiglass tube, cube, so you can look through the sides, and you can pick up information by observing by what's going on, and we do that. It has a heating coil. It has a crucible. It has dust in a crucible, and you disperse the dust. You ignite the dust in that hot coil. It generates a self-propagating flame to the cloud and a burst of diaphragm. Now, all of these pictures here are taken from video. Okay. In order to understand our approach on this thing was, if you're going to have an explosible dust, it must have an MEC. And what's an MEC? It's a minimum explosive concentration. If you have a concentration, let's say, of cornstarch in a chamber that is less than its MEC and it has ignition source, it still will not result in a deflagration or an explosion in the chamber. So MEC is important. Our criterion for determining whether dust is explosible or not is to determine whether it has an MEC. It doesn't make any difference to the concentration is 100, 200, 500, 1,000. If it has a reaction in that chamber and generates a sufficient pressure to burst that diaphragm, it is an explosible dust. That was our approach. We assumed that we were going to find a concentration of gin dust that would result in bursting that diaphragm, 2 psi. Yeah, it wasn't. Gin dust is not explosible. So we came back and said, how could we possibly have that result? And our test, $4,000 on a commercial lab, they were using 0.4 bars. A bar is 14.5 psi, by the way. And they were using 0.4 bars, and there's no logic in that in ASTM and FPA. One bar is what they use in ASTM and FPA. Here's our situation here. Hot coil, crucible, dust in this crucible, hit it with compressed air, and you get ignition. Here's what they used to use. Palmer, 1973. He had a diaphragm at the top, 1.2-liter chamber. You disperse dust in that chamber to get a uniform concentration throughout the chamber, and you determine the MEC by whatever burst that diaphragm. Here's the new STM method, 1226. It's a totally enclosed chamber, 20 liters, okay? 20-liter chamber, you disperse dust in the chamber, you push an igniter flame to that chamber that could be 2,500, 5,000, or 10,000 joules. And if you get a pressure that exceeds one bar, 14.5 psi, it is an explosible dust. That's the process. It's garbage. You heard that from me. You can repeat that. Dr. Portnoy said it's garbage. Okay. Why is it garbage? I'll tell you why. Let's first of all talk about the CAKES method. Here's three replications, and we put pressure sensors in our chamber. Here's three replications. We have basically you start off with ignition, a rise, burning of dust here, rising the pressure up to something like a little over 1.1 psi. Then it bursts the diaphragm. You have a reduction in pressure to below zero, below atmospheric, which means it has a vacuum at this point, and it comes back to normal. This is very typical of what you'd have in a grain elevator where you had a grain dust explosion in the real world, and that's what we find when we do that. You can go into an area where they had the explosion, and you come back and say, here's some piping coming into that point, and it has collapsed. It collapsed because of that vacuum down here. Notice how repeatable this is. This is sort of cornstarch here. Cornstarch is sort of our standard. What is the analysis? What's the ash content of cornstarch? Ash content, you take a crucible, you put a certain mass of that dust in there, you put it in the oven, you cook it till all you have is ash left. You measure the ash, take the ratio of that, and it tells you what the ash content is. 0.1 for cornstarch, 99% combustible. 39% combustible. Here's 13% combustible for gin does. Palmer says anything over 20%, that is, something over 20% is in effect going to not be an explosible dust. Okay, but anyway, we went ahead and did the testing. Here's what we have for, here's the process. Here's a hot coil. It's our ignition source, stationary ignition source. Hit with the air dust comes in there. It contacts the coil. You get an ignition. This is a real ignition. Remember I said ignition. What it means is that I start to fire at this point right here, and it goes through that cloud. Now, here's the unique thing. If you look at the 20-liter chamber, they have to have enough dust to fill the entire chamber to determine the concentration. We don't. We do the concentration determination by visual determination. And so we don't have to fill this entire chamber full of dust. We only have to have a dust cloud here that has an MEC, which is typically what you'd have in a grain elevator or feed mill. Okay? So you have an MEC there. It ignites, and then what happens? You have a self-propagating flame through that dust cloud, generating pressure. That pressure will, in effect, cause the diaphragm to burst, and then you will have an indication that you have an explosible dust, or you had a deflagration in the chamber. Did I go the right way? Yeah, similar type situation here. Okay. Now we used dust XX, which is a higher inert content that has something like 60% inerts as a guide in terms of this testing. How do you determine the MEC? Well, you do subsequent testing, 57 grams per cubic meter, 43, 40, et cetera. You come back and say, did you get a deflagration? Yes, yes, yes. No, no, yes. No, no, no. Okay, the MEC here is something like between 40 and 43. That's what the literature says MEC for cornstarch is. So. DestXX, we had done some work on prior to that, and then you can find that its MEC is around 77. Both of these dusts are explosible dust, no question, okay? All right, let's back up a second. Are they combustible dust? Well, there's a fraction even of gin dust that's combustible. 13% is combustible, but it's not combustible dust. What's happening is we've let NFPA and ASTM define for us that combustible and explosible are the same. They are not the same. And if you walk away from this presentation with one thing in mind, remember this. All explosible dusts are combustible. But not all combustible dusts are explosible. They are not the same. Okay. Now let's continue on here. Here is gin dust. Now, one of the things they say about having to use, they require that you come in and use, do testing on this dust with a 10,000 joule chemical igniter. Palmer, when he was doing it with the Hartman tube that I showed earlier, he only used 10 joules. 10 joules. Now they're saying, well, if you didn't get a reaction with the 2,500 or the 5,000, you must come back and run repeated tests with 5,000 joule chemical igniter. Okay? That's the requirement in NFPA and ASTM. Here is a dust right here. This is gin dust. It's gin dust. The point is, they're saying, well, we have to use 10,000 because this dust just has a hard to ignite. Is the dust ignited? Absolutely. Is the dust ignited? Absolutely. Here too, here too. Guess what? No deflagration, no bursting diaphragm, no self-propagating flame. ASTM NFPA method is flawed, absolutely flawed. And nobody wants to admit that. You go back, let's come on down here. Here's where we're looking at the pressure versus time curve that we use. And it tells you whether or not you had a reaction or not. This happened to be for cornstarch at 77, all three reactions. We had deflagrations in all three. Here's cornstarch at 43. Huh, we had one here, but two of the replications did not have a deflagration. Here is XX at 93. All three had a deflagration. Here's XX at 73. We had one, but the other two did not have the characteristic pressure versus time curve to be a deflagration. Okay? That's our method. Here's what we put in there to get gin dust. What about the pressure versus the time curve? Huh, guess what, folks? It doesn't make any difference if you put 1,000 grams per cubic meter in that chamber. You do not get a pressure that will result in a bursting of the diaphragm. You get very little pressure in gen dust, even though you do have ignition. Okay. According to the FAA, it says if a material fails to ignite over the range of concentrations, the test sequence is repeated using a 20-liter spherical chamber with 10,000 joule ignition source. There is no. Oh, if you want to, there it says you must do that. Okay. Here's the chamber. I paid $4,000 for test results from a commercial lab. Okay. They ran those test results using a 0.4 bar indicator. There's nowhere in ASTM NFPA that's used 0.4. You use 1 bar. This is 14.5 PSI. They came back and ran a test and they said, we got a pressure coming from this chamber that exceeded 1 bar. Guess what? I can take the 10,000 joule chemical igniter flame, put that in that chamber, do the calculations using the ideal gas law constant, et cetera, and I can get more than 1 bar theoretically just with a 10,000 joule flame. Well, what's that mean? That means that the air in that chamber was explosible. Did you hear me? The air in that chamber is explosible. There's no dust in the chamber. How much oxygen do you have in the chamber? We have 5.5 grams. How much oxygen does 1 gram of a carbon require to do a stoichiometric reaction? 2.5 grams. 2 grams of dust will in effect consume all the oxygen. They ran 20 grams of dust in this chamber right here, and they came back and said, oh, yeah, it's a Class A explosible dust. Absolutely, totally bogus. Okay, now, 20-liter. Here's our protocol, their protocol, 10,000 joule chemical igniter, dust cloud, measure pressure. It's more than 1 bar. There's an explosion, deflagration. Okay, the dust is explosible. In other words, what you're saying is, I put dust in there, I get a measured pressure more than 1 bar. I have an explosible dust in the chamber. Not combustible, but explosible. Okay, now, burning combustible dust in an flame in a state through. Okay, let's see what that says. Burning dust in a chamber without a self-propagating flame is not a deflagration. That's the point I want to make. You have to have a self-propagating flame, and it can only come from a stationary source. You can't take a 10,000 joule flame and shoot it through a dust cloud to the opposite side of the chamber, which it specifically says in ASTM, and use that result in saying we have an explosible dust. What they have is a flawed result. Okay. All right. What we say is the dust cloud must be ignited by a stationary source. The reaction must self-propagate a flame to the cloud. There must be a characteristic pressure versus time curve. The flame must leave the chamber. Okay. An MEC must exist for the dust to be explosible, and they do not concern themselves about MECs in ASTM and NFPA. Gen dust is not an explosible dust, and I'm going to stop right there because I think we're running about out of time.
We've got time for a few questions. So.
Okay. Good questions, anybody? Talk to me, Dusty. Talk to me, man. You know, I gave this paper, by the way, at the Mary Kay O'Connor Safety Center Symposium a year ago, and one of the guys came out and said he was from Boston. He said, Dr. Parnell, you're right. We found the same results, but you're not going to get ASTM to change. It is too ingrained. It's too much in concrete. They had something like 20 labs out there that they were paid significant money to put to, in effect, talk about how they can do the testing for explosibility or not. He said, it's just too much going on. You're not going to get the change. Now, I'm working through, I have a former student who happens to be a fairly high-level person in Bungie, and he's also on the NFPA 61, and I'm working with him, and I've got another colleague that's up with NIOSH that has some common sense, and I'm working with those two guys to try to do something. What I need, though, is I need for people in this industry to understand what's going on. Where we're at right now is we could have cotton gin dust classified as explosible dust. Don't say combustible, explosible dust. That means that when an OSHA inspector walks into the gin, puts his foot down, sees a footprint there, it's more than an eighth of an inch, you're in violation of the OSHA standard because you're an industry that handles explosive dust. We don't want that.